I'm Heidi Holton with John Latimer. Tornado Bob still joins us. John, tell us a little bit about the conversation we are about to begin.
Well, we're going to be speaking with Jothsna Harris. And Jothsna is the, I should ask her for her exact title, but I think she's Director of Community Engagement at the Will Steger Foundation and Climate Generation. And we are concerned about climate change. And Jothsna is going to invite us to write a letter. They want to get a letter from all 67 congressional districts across the state. And they'd like you listeners, they'd like us to write a letter of our own experience. And perhaps we can let Jothsna tell us more about this, how that we might get going on this project. So Jothsna, welcome and good to see you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John. It's great to be here. My name is Jothsna Harris, and I'm the Director of Community Engagement, as you said, from Climate Generation, a Will Steger legacy. And we are collecting letters from all districts, as you mentioned, from across the state. And we want to hear your voice on why you care about climate change and why you want your legislator to take action on it. We have this special project where we are collecting these letters and we'll be delivering them on the first day of the legislative session, January 5th. And we want the message to be to our legislators that we, as people in Minnesota, are demanding bold action on climate change, not only from day one of the session, but that message is going to continue throughout this whole session. And so one of the cool things about this project is we are pairing these letters with this new book called Eyewitness, Minnesota Voices on Climate Change. And this book is a collection of stories, poems, and artwork written by Minnesotans all across the state that share their firsthand experiences of climate change. And so this book, you know, even though it has really an amazing array of different types of stories from farmers, youth, teachers, scientists, regular people like you and I, they really are not the entirety of the stories that we could tell. And so the message to the public is, we would love for you to share your stories too. And that is a great way to complement the science of climate change with our human experience, which is so important for understanding the whole picture of what we're dealing with on the ground.
Now, I kind of want to put John and Tornado Bob on the spot a little bit. What comes to your mind in the time? Now, John, you've lived most of your life here in northern Minnesota, but on how climate has changed in the time you've been here?
Well, weather-wise or just looking at the general, you know, temperature and the associated weather sort of events, it hasn't been dramatic. What's been most dramatic for me are the arrival of animals and birds that would normally not be seen this far north. There's a red-bellied woodpecker on my bird feeder this morning, and 5 years ago, I would have not even dreamed that they would be here. And I know that there are gray foxes in the woods around me. They weren't here when I was a child. There are a number of other things like that. I think one of the things that I've noticed too is that because I'm a skater, I'm always looking for ice on the area lakes. And over the years, that date of ice in has been pushed later and later and later. In the first 10 years of data that I kept, the freeze up date was in the early teens, 12, 13, something like that. And now typically it's Thanksgiving, it's in the 20s. So the average date for ice in has changed significantly for me.
How about you, Bob?
I will tend to dive into a bunch of statistics that I see, and you know, maybe it's a little bit less personal, but I'm always looking at the general changes in weather patterns and looking at the extremes. So let's say we get a few cases where we might have some cold weather out there and people might say, well, no, it's not, see, it's not changing. But then that'll be interspersed with when we get above, you know, normal weather patterns, we break record highs. And that ratio of record highs to record lows is really high now. It's increasing. We almost never see a record low, but you just get a little bit of a warm weather pattern and it seems like it's really easy to either tie or break a record high. So there's, you know, and if you look at those extreme ends, you know that things are shifting towards the warm side for us. Even though we do get into patterns right now, if you look at the global patterns, sometimes we get this situation where we've, you know, if you look at the anomalies around the gold globe, and in some cases we've been, you know, in Eastern North America, the only place that has cold anomalies. So for a lot of the U.S., sometimes it's the effects can be hidden, where the rest of the world is really cooking, and we're the only ones that have colder than average conditions. So it kind of throws things off a little bit. But overall, if you look at definitely on a global perspective and look locally with the extremes, we're always breaking almost always breaking record warmth, not record cold.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Jyotsna, do you say Jyotsna?
Jyotsna, that's right.
It's Jyotsna. Sorry.
Yes, no.
I'm curious. What have you begun receiving letters, and what are people noting in their letters? What kind of things are they saying?
We have received letters, and so I can tell you some of the things that people are putting in their letters. For example, one person wrote, we've all heard think globally, act locally. To that, I would add, think of the future and act today. That's what they're writing to their legislator. Another person wrote, my kids have grown up witnessing climate change, winter ski season becoming unpredictable, and more extreme weather patterns emerging. And then another person wrote, protecting our communities now is the best way to minimize future disasters. And John, I know that you have your own climate story too. I don't know if you remember, we worked together in 2015. Yes. And I remember your climate story where you were talking about being a mail carrier and how you started recording kind of the things that you were seeing happening seasonally. And this woman, Mary, who you would meet with weekly to talk about that over coffee, and how that really has become a living record of the things that you've observed over your lifetime, and how that now is, you know, data that can be used by our state to show these changes that are happening. So I remember that personal side of your story that pairs with that data that's so important to us now.
Yeah, well, there is a mountain of data there, and it's going to take someone smarter than me, someone who's better at manipulating data. I'm a good observer. I'm not a good statistician. But it's there, and it's available. If there are people out there who want to mine it for the indicators of climate change, I'm sure that there are clues in there for those indicators. For me, with observation, it is primarily, you know, the new animals that I see or the animals that I don't see that are no longer comfortable at this latitude, that who might have been in the past. But I think Bob made a very good point about experiencing more record highs than record lows. And I hadn't really thought about it that way. Tend to think, oh, you know, we don't see that minus 40 as often as we used to. And that is part of that. But on the other end, you know, in the summertime, like this last summer, I don't know if we had 90 degrees or not, but we certainly had some warm days. Bob?
Yeah, we had several 90 degree days this summer. It was kind of warm and humid, and we have a bit more of that. But you know, overall, I think you know the amount of variability we have tends to mask the significant more significant change due to the temperature, the climate actually shifting towards into a warmer state. So I think it can confuse a lot of people. But definitely, if you really pay attention and you look at the number of warm extremes we have, those do dominate. For example, this year, if you looked at the temperature trend, like the end of October, we had quite a bit of snow and an anomalously long period where we had snow on the ground. But then that was followed in November by 70s, and we hit record highs then. And took care of that snow pretty fast. It was, if you looked at the anomalies themselves, how the departure from average, those days in November looked a bit more extreme.
And Bob, you are looking at weather internationally, globally, and so you were mentioning earlier about the dire straits of the Arctic and.
Yeah.
Jusna, you work with Will, and you guys must have your finger on that pulse as well, that there is a significant change in what's happening at the poles, and especially in the Arctic.
Exactly. Will Steger founded Climate Generation in 2006 out of his deep concern for what he was experiencing himself and visually, observing happening in our polar regions from over 50 years of exploring the poles and really witnessing some of the world's major ice shelves disintegrating. And so he was able to take that story and to really compel people to not only be enthralled with his stories of Arctic adventures, but to also be, learn about climate change at a time when not a lot of people were talking about climate change, especially from a personal perspective. And then it kind of led for people to ask that question, what is climate change and what can I do about it? And so it became a natural vehicle to get people engaged in thinking about what they could do in their lives and together collectively. And of course now, as you all are clearly making the point that climate change is all around us now, and we are all eyewitnesses to it. And no matter who you are or your background or level of, how much you talk about climate change or don't, we are all experts in our own experiences and we're all eyewitnesses to what is happening. And so that's why we're so excited to be able to hear from you all in the ways that you are thinking about climate change, experiencing climate change, impacts that you're seeing or solutions that you're involved in, and to share those with our policymakers so that we can take action on it together. And this is a perfect time because as we're entering the holidays and having, a time of gratitude this weekend, you can write a letter or you can host a Zoom letter writing party with your family and encourage people to get their letters in and for our policymakers to take action. So you can go to climateeyewitness.org/letter. And John, I don't know if you'll be posting that somewhere.
Absolutely.
Great. But you can go to that link and there's a very easy to fill in the blank template. We've made it easy for you to just, fill in the fields and explain why you care about climate change and what you are seeing, how you're thinking about climate change. And we will deliver that for you to your legislator so that we can send this message that our voices matter and that we all have something to say about climate change.
That's Jyotsna Harris. She is from Climate Generation, a Will Steger legacy. And we will post this conversation as well as links to how you can write a letter. You said bold. What was the phrase that you used? Bold changes.
Bold action.
Action. What's an example of that you would like to see come out of the legislature this 2021?
Yeah, so I know that the bills, you know, haven't been proposed yet for the types of climate actions that will be in the legislature. But we have a climate caucus at the Capitol who will be thinking about what to propose this session. And so we want policymakers to be ready for when those opportunities come to make decisions to make them on behalf of climate change, because our people here in Minnesota care about that. So we want them to be ready to keep solutions at the forefront of their mind when they are making decisions for the rest of us this session and going forward.
Well, we're going to, obviously we'll have the link, and I hope that our listeners will take the time. You know, one of the things that I've found with quarantine because of COVID is that I'm writing a lot more letters, and it's amazing. If you write a letter, golly, sometimes you get one back. And I don't know if writing this letter will get you one back, but it's a good exercise. Sit down and put pen to paper and put your thoughts down. It's just amazing how good it feels to write a letter and put it in the mailbox.
We also have people who are writing poetry, or kids who are writing, who are making artwork. And I don't know if you've ever visited your legislator's office at the Capitol, but one thing that I've noticed, you know, when we were doing things in person, is that they will have those pictures up on their walls and keep them there. So, so I would encourage you to, you know, make this unique to who you are and to really speak from your heart to your decision maker.
That is a very good idea. I hadn't thought about having children do artwork, or anyone for that matter. I mean, I could sit down and sketch out a few things.
But what are you talking? You have children doing the reports all the time. So
yeah, I think John should twist the teacher's arms and tell them he should do that. Yes.
The children need to learn to write, and this would be a great opportunity. Organize your thoughts and put them down on paper.
Yeah, think of what sort of things you can do as a citizen to take action to tackle this problem. It's a tough one, I think. We have so many ways in which fossil fuels are part of our lives, and getting rid of them, or just moving towards other sources of energy, it's a challenge. It's a lot. It's deeply embedded, and the more we can raise awareness of how we have that in our lives and ways to get around solve those problems, the better off we are.
Well, we sure appreciate it. I wonder if you would repeat for us, Jyotsna, on how people can send in a letter.
Yes, great. So we are expecting letters from all 67 congressional districts in the state, and you can send your letter in by going to climateeyewitness.org/letter. So that's climateeyewitness.org/letter.
That will be on our website later today, and I'm hoping that many of you who are listening this morning will sit down in this snowy morning and write a letter and tell your legislator what you think about climate change.
And I also hope to see a letter come through from you, John, and Bob. That would be incredible.
We are both capable of that. And now that I've bragged up how much I'm writing letters, I guess I've got to put my pen where my mouth is.
That's awesome.
Well, hopefully we can talk to you after the legislative session begins and kind of find out what bills, what things you are following as an organization. The organization is called Climate Generation, a Will Steger legacy. You can find information on them at climategen.org. Jyotsna, thanks so much for your time today. It was good to talk to you.
That was great.
Thank you, Jyotsna.
Thanks so much. Good morning.
Good to see you again.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Coming
Thanks,
up.
Jyotsna.
Thanks, Bob.
Coming up, we've got music from Beale Street. Make sure you stay tuned for that. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, 103.9 Ely, KAXE.org, or tell your smart speaker to play KAXE. We're connecting you to Northern Minnesota.